week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm just back from a two-week summer vacation. Thanks to Muckbill Yabaro for hosting the show during my absence. Thanks also to the old sports emperor Barry Mon for helping us celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Voice of America's English to Africa service on August 4th. The 82-year-old sports emperor says he recently finished writing his fourth book that chronicles an African adventure he took more than 50 years ago.
And this one, listeners might be interested in because it's a book about travels I took in 1969 from Alexandria, Egypt to Cape Agulhas, South Africa, alone in a Volkswagen combi bus with my then wife, Suzanne. So, and then along the way, we were joined by our one-year-old son, Kevin. So it's in the publisher's hands right now. It's going to run about 300 pages with lots of photographs. So that's my main project right now. But just trying to stay healthy, you know?
Stay healthy, Barry. England edge Nigeria 4-2 on penalty kicks Monday to advance to the quarterfinals at the FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament, which is being co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand. A crowd of nearly 50,000 attended the England-Nigeria match at Lang Park in Brisbane, Australia. It was a heartbreaking loss for the Super Falcons of Nigeria. The Super Falcons hit the bar twice during 90 minutes of scoreless football before the shootout. And they had a one-player advantage throughout extra time after England's Lauren James was shown a red card for stamping on Nigeria's Michelle Alozie. Former England star Ellen White, the country's all-time female goal scorer, said, and I quote, "Nigeria is a credit to their nation, and the Super Falcons turned in an incredible performance." She added, "I'm devastated for them, but this tournament will bring them together." Meanwhile, former England goalkeeper Karen Bardsley said, and I quote, "Nigeria are a fantastic side. They played with so much freedom, allowing their front three to attack." Nigeria's loss leaves one African team left at the FIFA Women's World Cup, the Atlas Lionesses of Morocco, who will meet France on Tuesday in Adelaide, Australia. The Moroccan women are making their World Cup debut, and they reached the round of 16 after wins over Colombia and South Korea and a loss to Germany. For reaction to the World Cup performance of the Atlas Lionesses, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with African women's football analyst Chukwuleta Chigozie.
I can't explain the feeling, honestly. Three African teams in the round of 16, with number 72 in the world being in the number, ahead two-time world champions, Olympic champions, and all that. This tournament keeps throwing up surprises. Remember I told you after the opening game that any team that underrates the Atlas Lionesses will do so at their own risk, because that game showed them exactly how tough the tournament can be. And they braced up in the subsequent matches and came back stronger. Look at that goal. Look at the effort. Look at the tenacity. That goal will go down in history. It came in the early stages of the first half, and they were able to keep it till the end of the thrilling encounter. That unexpected result, you know, culminated the journey of the tournament favorites, Germany, that bashed same Morocco 6-0 in the opening game. I am so happy. So happy. The African dream in female football is becoming a reality. The investments by CAF and various governments in Africa is yielding exciting dividends. After their men stunned the world in Qatar last year, the women's team are embarking on their own incredible journey in Australia and New Zealand. And I can only pray that they succeed. I must say thank you, particularly to the Moroccan government, for making such huge investment, and we are able to unearth those talents from different cities, and especially from Moroccan diaspora, put them together, trust them, support them, you know, and they are doing well.
Some football analysts think that Morocco is the team to watch in the ongoing FIFA Women's World Cup, given the feat they have achieved so far. What's your take on this?
As the bright star from the north, in fact, the entire Arab nation, they shone brightly. They secured qualification via the impressive performance at the 2022 African Cup of Nations, where they managed to beat Nigeria through penalty shootouts. After 2-1 victory over Botswana, they lost 2-1 to South Africa in the finals, which means the current best of Africa emerged from that tournament, and they are representing well in this World Cup. That outing earned the Atlas Lionesses more visibility. Remember the 6-0 bashing in the opening match, which placed their campaign on the fairy tale ladder. But the table turned. In fact, the legs of the Group H table shattered, you know, following their surprising emergence from the group. They did not disappoint those analysts, and they did not disappoint Africa.
Atlas Lionesses of Morocco will play France in the round of 16 game. What are your thoughts on the game?
Morocco are the lowest ranked team to progress to the round of 16 in this tournament. It shows they are not a team to toy with. The coach, Ronald Pedro, had said that the team does not suffer any pressure because it focuses on its potential and capabilities and will work to present the best possible picture of Moroccan women football. And they have been on that lane. Their match against France will be tough because round of 16 is a level of no second chance. France will be all out to ensure they don't give Morocco the chance of a round of 16 history. I pray the Atlas Lionesses, their pacey and the attacking game format will help them. Their presence in the World Cup, I keep saying it, is inspiring and will open doors, you know, in other Arab nations. So I want them to continue. I want them to continue winning.
That's African women's football analyst Chukwuleta Chigozie. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Oka, Nigeria. The Moroccan and French teams trained in Adelaide, Australia on Monday ahead of their Women's World Cup round of 16 match. In Women's World Cup results Sunday, the Netherlands defeated South Africa 2-0. And Sweden eliminated the defending champion United States 5-4 in a penalty kick shootout. A crowd of almost 28,000 attended the Sweden-USA match at Melbourne Rectangular Stadium in Australia. We'll hear now from some Swedish and American fans who were at the match, and the victorious Swedes get top billing.
We did not win, and I'm telling you, my heart was up, you know, up, I don't know where it was actually, because it was so stressful, but wasn't it an awesome finish? And you had no idea really what happened at the end, but then it just erupted, and we won! Yeah! Hey, Sverige!
Sweden!
Sverige! Sverige!
Yeah, it was a really exciting game. We were really nervous. We missed a couple of penalties, but in the end, we won.
Oh, it was devastating, but stressful. And we tried so hard. We just couldn't finish. And if you're not going to score goals, you're not going to win. So, sucks. It's awful, but that's what it is.
we obviously didn't get the outcome we wanted, but we left everything on the field. That's all we could ask. They played so well. They had so many chances, and we're so proud of our ladies. And go Australia now.
We're very, very sad, though.
Yes, we are very sad.
Next time, go USA.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, it was heartbreak. It's heavy. You know, I think, I don't want to say disappointed, but, you know, in a way disappointed. But yeah, I know that, you know, the effort from the team was there. And, you know, I think they did what they could. And, yeah, in the end, you know, I wish it would have been a better outcome. But that's it. But, yeah, heartbreak, I think. Yeah.
Heartbreaking indeed for American soccer fans. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, at X, formerly Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. More Women's World Cup football news. A top Australian football official is not surprised. Three African teams advance to the round of 16. Phil Mercer reports from Sydney, Australia.
Francis Owara-Tiffi is the chair of Professional Footballers Australia that represents the country's elite players. He tells VOA that he's not surprised African nations have played well.
They've always been very strong. I think Nigeria's always performed very strongly. But I think in recent times there's been a lot of investment in football in a country like Morocco, where they've invested a lot of money specifically into coaching and infrastructure and resources for women's football. And we can see that result in the performances of the team, the Moroccan national team, in terms of where it's performed. South Africa has also been reasonably strong as well, but it's good to see them now actually producing those results on the field.
Owara-Tiffi says fans are embracing the Women's World Cup.
Look, I think it's gone beyond our expectations, not just in terms of the performances on the field, which has been absolutely wonderful. The standard's just gone up another notch or two in this tournament, but also in terms of the crowds and the way that Australians have really embraced the Football World Cup. It's been absolutely phenomenal. And also in New Zealand as well. Japan, England and Australia for me are the strongest sides right now. And they're the ones I can see going very, very deeply into the tournament.
Soccer fans around the world are anticipating more drama in the days to come. The final will be played in Sydney on August 20. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Thanks, Phil. In Sydney Monday, a crowd of nearly 76,000 saw the Matildas of Australia advance to the Women's World Cup quarterfinals with a 2-0 victory over Denmark. Caitlin Ford and Haley Rasso had the goals for Australia, which will play the winner of Tuesday's Morocco-France match in the quarterfinals. Now let's go to the Democratic Republic of Congo, which recently hosted the third edition of the African Great Lake Regional Karate Competition. Zanam Neti Zaidi reports from Goma.
The regional karate competition took place in a friendly atmosphere. Athletes from seven African countries, including Tanzania, Uganda, Congo Brazzaville, Angola, Burundi, Cameroon, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, demonstrated their performance in this discipline over 4 days in front of a diverse audience of several nationalities. Cameroon won the tournament, taking home 43 medals, including 30 golds, 12 silvers and 1 bronze. The DRC was a close second with 36 medals, including 11 golds, 18 silvers and 7 bronzes. In athletes from Burundi, Jeanne Shimwe says he was delighted to take part in the competition. He says it helped them strengthen their friendships with other young people, and during this third edition, they made friends with Congolese and Ugandan athletes. Many athletes were happy to take part in the competition, as they believe that sports can be used as an excellent tool to preach the importance of peaceful coexistence in the sub-region where conflicts between communities have done much damage. John Mshongolo is an athlete from Tanzania. He says it's a very good thing. This competition has created very good relations. When they meet, they build very good relationships. There is a connection that is created. The competition was also of great importance to the athletes who took part, who learned techniques from their peers, something that will help them improve. She says it's a very good thing because they've had to measure themselves against other athletes from different countries, which helps them to recognize their weaknesses, to improve and to know whether they are making progress or not. Goma began hosting the yearly tournament in 2021. The Congo Karate Federation plans to organize a fourth edition next year. For VOA Africa, I'm Zanim Netizaili in Goma.
Thanks, Sanam. Turning to tennis, 19-year-old Coco Gauff has won the biggest title of her young career here in Washington. Gauff defeated Greek opponent Maria Sakkari in straight sets Sunday, 6-2 and 6-3, to win the D.C. Open. It was Coco's fourth career trophy and first at a WTA 500-level tournament. Britain's Dan Evans won the men's title here in Washington. Evans defeated Talon Griekspoor of the Netherlands in straight sets, 7-5 and 6-3. Well, one of our big recent tennis stories was Wimbledon. There was a very exciting men's final in England. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to my report. Carlos Alcaraz dethroned Novak Djokovic in an epic five-set match to win his first men's singles title at Wimbledon. It was also the second major title for the 20-year-old Alcaraz, who won last year's U.S. Open. In the process, he denied Djokovic a fifth consecutive Wimbledon crown. The final score from Wimbledon, 1-6, 7-6, 6-1, 3-6, and 6-4. Holding the trophy at center court, Alcaraz said it was an incredible feeling to beat one of the legends in tennis.
Well, it's it's a dream come true for me. As I said before, of course, it's great to win, you know. But even if I would have lost, I would be really proud of myself, you know, in this amazing run, you know, making history in this beautiful tournament, you know, playing a final against a legend of all sports. For me, it's incredible, you know. As I said, it's a dream come true. Be able to, you know, play in these stages, it's amazing for a boy, you know, 20 years old. I didn't expect to reach, you know, this kind of situations really fast. I'm really, really proud of my... yeah. I'm really proud of myself. I'm really proud of the team that I have, the work we put every day to be able, to live this experience.
Carlos Alcaraz also said it was an honor to play in front of royalty at Wimbledon, including Spain's King Felipe.
Well, it's really, really special, you know. It's special to play, in front royalty, the Prince of Wales, everyone. Philippe, I'm really proud, that you are here supporting me. I played in front of you just twice that I won. I hope you are coming more. It's really, really special, and I have to thank you for coming and supporting.
Meanwhile, the 36-year-old Djokovic was gracious in defeat and praised Alcaraz for his performance.
Not so good for me, but good for Carlos. I have to start, obviously, with praises to Carlos and to his team. Amazing. What a quality in the end of the match. When you had to serve it out, you came up with some big serves and big plays, so you deserve it. Absolutely. Congratulations. Amazing. Amazing. I thought I'll have trouble with you only on clay and maybe hardcore, but not on grass. But now, it's a different story from this year, obviously. Congrats, amazing way to adapt to the surface. You played maybe once or twice before this year's Wimbledon on grass, and amazing, just what you did in Queens, and congratulations to your team, Juanqui, everybody, well done, guys. Enhorabuena. As for me, obviously, you never like to lose matches like this, but... I guess when all the emotions are settled, I have to still be very grateful because I won many, many tight and close matches in the past year. To name a few, 2019 against Roger in that finals where I was match points down. Maybe I should have lost a couple of finals that I won. So I think this is even Steven.
In the women's singles final at Wimbledon, Markéta Vondrousova of the Czech Republic defeated Tunisia's Ons Jabeur in straight sets, as we hear now from the AP's Graham Agars.
24-year-old Markéta Vondrousova has become the first unseeded women's champion of Wimbledon. The left-handed Czech ranked 42 in the world, securing a fairy tale win 6-4, 6-4 over the six-seed Ons Jabeur in a 1 hour and 20-minute final. Vondrousova was steady throughout the match, making just 13 unforced errors and held her nerve when Jabeur quickly went 3-1 up in the second set. From there, the Czech won five of the last six games to secure the most unlikely win. Jabeur, still winless after three Grand Slam finals, made 31 unforced errors and converted just four of her 10 breakpoint chances. I'm Graham Agars.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. Music Time in Africa is the voice of America's longest-running English language program. It was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian. As part of recent ceremonies celebrating the 60th anniversary of the VOA's English to Africa service, I discussed Leo's legacy with the old sports emperor, Barry Mon. Leo the Music Man Sarkisian, true Renaissance man, broadcaster, musician, artist. He founded Music Time in Africa back in 1965, so basically 2 years after the first English to Africa broadcast. Music Time in Africa now under stellar leadership by Heather Maxwell. She's done a wonderful job as host and producer of Music Time in Africa. But what are your memories of Leo, Barry?
You captured the words, Renaissance man. And what a true gentleman. What an artist. I had the privilege of meeting he and his wife, Mary, on many occasions at their home. And I remember one evening where he got out this instrument called the oud and played it like he could have been in Carnegie Hall. And then I looked around and I saw all these beautiful paintings. And I said, who did them? Knowing full well who did. And he said, oh, yeah, I do that in my spare time. I said, you know, you're producing one of arguably the most famous program to Africa ever. And this is your spare time activities? He was indefatigable. He was so dedicated to the African continent and its peoples that he is, you know, the word legend is thrown around so easily nowadays. He was and is a legend. And to this day, I don't care where you go in Africa, you will find people who still remember Leo Sarkisian. And that's taking nothing away from Heather Maxwell, who's doing a fantastic job. And she was a protege of Leo, who handpicked her.
One more reminiscence about Leo. We both knew him pretty well. And like you, Barry, even in his 80s, Leo had incredible energy. And I remember him charging into the office, and he like tap you on the shoulder, and he say, yeah, man, let's go, yeah, man. And you couldn't help but feel inspired when he gave you that little tap on the shoulder.
Exactly. Yeah, man. I can hear it like it was yesterday.
Well, another legend, Barry, at the Voice of America. May he rest in peace. Uncle Ted Roberts, the former host of Nightline Africa on the weekends at Voice of America. And I think, Barry, you agree with me that maybe Uncle Ted's greatest legacy was on the humanitarian front.
You've got it there in splendid isolation, because Ted, as you said, worked on the weekends, did a lot of his programs live, so he had none of the infrastructure around him, even though maybe he didn't need it. But his links with Africa, his bringing together families who had been torn asunder by the turmoil in Africa at the time. And he is credited with bringing hundreds, even thousands of families together. And what better legacy can you have in the world that transcends other things that we did on the radio? We entertained. He did much more than just entertain.
That's the old sports emperor, Barry Mon, reflecting on the late, great Uncle Ted Roberts. And that wraps up the August 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.